Attention Austin guitarists, are you in need of setup or repair on your axe even during these quarantine times? Well, I have the guy for you. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery. You can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Facebook. Gang, I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years, and not only does he do the best job, but he has the best prices and the fastest service in town. That's J. Scott Luthery on Facebook or jason.swedberg@gmail.com. Whether it's acoustic, electric, or bass, Jason Swedberg is your guy. All right, get your guitars fixed. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I hope you guys are all healthy, safe, and sane out there. Hope you're doing alright. These are tough times, man. This is a challenging era, you know? This is a, to say the least, right? Sorry, I don't mean to laugh, it's not funny, but it is funny, if you know what I mean. It's getting crazy. Anyway, I've had a good week. I need to address a couple of messages that I got on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, which, by the way, you should follow. Follow How Did I Get Here on Facebook. Sometimes I've been popping up there live. I haven't popped up there in a couple weeks. Maybe I'll do it soon. But I need to address a couple of messages that I got about the last episode, my interview with Roger Joseph Manning Jr. from the band The Licorice Quartet. Now, that was a phone interview. The Licorice Quartet is a band made up of three members that were members of Jellyfish, this band that was around in the early 90s. Now, that band is very, very beloved, okay? And so that band, these guys weren't the singer or the main dude in the band. These are all the other guys got together and did their own band. They've got like a Crosby, Stills, and Nash thing. Check it out. It's really good. They have a record dropping today, Friday, May 15th. It's called Threesome Volume 1. Anyway, that's the Licorice Quartet. Okay, so anyway, so these three guys started a band. So I'm having this conversation with Roger, and what I was accused of by these two messages, which, by the way, they kind of read very similarly, so I think these are two guys that talked to each other before they wrote me. They were kind of trolling it, and they were like, hey, we got to tell. They didn't do it publicly. They wrote me messages, and they kind of read the same. Like, basically, I said to Roger, is it daunting when you're going to start this band, and you guys weren't the main guy, and there's this beloved band. I mean, people fucking love Jellyfish. They're not a household name, but everybody that knows, that loves them, loves them. So most people that know them love them and love them like rabidly. And so I was saying, is it a daunting task putting together a band without the main guy and going out? I mean, was that something that was in your minds? Now, Roger, I did sense the tension. There was a tense response. Basically, he said he didn't care what critics said. He didn't care what Johnny Gowdy had to say. He called me out by name. But that's not, I wasn't doing it in a confrontational way. I've been in bands before that were popular. I've gone to start a new band after that. And there are people that are like, hey, I like the old thing. This is not what I'm into. And that's a real thing. And when you're starting a new band, you're like, man, I wonder if people are going to like this. I that's all I was asking, and I wasn't meaning it in a mean way at all. I just know that I love Jellyfish, and when I saw that those guys started a band, I was like, oh God, this better be good. That's all, as a fan, that's what I was asking. So I'm sorry, I wrote those guys back, I was nice, but getting two emails like that, or messages like that on Facebook made me think like, well, maybe there's other people that thought I was being an asshole to Roger, and I was not. If you can tell on that interview, I was nervous, I was excited that he remembered knowing me and he remembered my music and said I was good. I mean, that stuff kind of took me aback. You can hear it in the thing, and there's a lot of ums, and I'm very cautious, and I did want to ask this question. It wasn't meant in a gotcha way at all. It was meant in a very sincere way, because it's part of his journey, you know. Being in this amazing band and having to live up to this amazing band is just part of the journey. So guys, you guys that wrote me, I don't know if you listened to the show, if you just listened to that one episode because you're Jellyfish fans, which is what I think. So if you are listening, I am sorry. I wrote you guys back. I did not mean it in that way at all. I meant it in a very honest way, because that's a real thing that Roger probably had to face when he was putting that band together. All those guys, you know, great band. The Licorice Quartet. Go back and check it out, man. Episode 916. Great episode. I have another great episode for you today. Billy Buck from Austin Music Award winners for Best Punk Band, Sailor Poon, is my guest today. Yeah, man. I reached out to her through my friend Scott Collins, hooked us up, because I've wanted to talk to them for a long time. I've been friends with Billy's dad, Mike Buck. Great musician here in town. He's got a great radio show. I've known him for a while. He was the one that told me about Sailor Poon a while back, and I've been keeping up with them online and checking them out. I just never have run into Billy anywhere, and I've never seen Sailor Poon. So my friend Scott Collins was nice enough to hook us up, and I got to sit down and talk via Zoom to this amazing man. Billy Buck is an amazing artist. She's won Best Poster Artist a couple of times in the Austin Music Awards. She, as I said, the Sailor Poon won Best Punk Band in Austin Music Awards this year. They're an amazing band. They come from like the school of like art rock as punk music. Does that make sense? Like sometimes there are bands that are like fighting against something, and then there are bands that are like made up of artists who find music as another canvas for them to express themselves. And I talked to Billy about that, and it's really cool. It's not a super long conversation. It was kind of late for me. I'd done a bunch of stuff that day. I'd done an Austin Music Foundation meeting. I'd done a live stream thing. And those Zoom conversations, man, sometimes it's just really hard to get, you know, I want to talk to people again, like in person. I feel like we can really connect and we can laugh, but I did connect with Billy. She's a really, really fascinating person. She grew up in this music scene. Her dad, of course, as I said, is Mike Buck. And so she grew up, you know, going to shows, Continental Club as a kid and seeing bands and stuff. And so we talk about all that stuff and kind of how she came into it, about her art, about her career, and what she's doing under quarantine. Her boyfriend and her are doing a lot of music stuff. It sounds like a lot of fun. She's a driven artist. She's a very creative artist, and she's a really, really badass artist. So please, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with my new friend, Billy Buck, from Sailor Poon. Let's get down. A release date for your record yet?
We're thinking it's gonna be on the 20th, unless May. Yeah, okay. May 20th.
Are those last two songs gonna be on it?
Be Your Dog will be
okay.
Moon Snake will not.
Okay, that was just a single.
Yes.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I've been holding up pretty well over here. I live with my boyfriend, who's a musician also, so we've been keeping ourselves entertained.
Yeah. Yeah. What does that look like?
We started a band.
Okay.
Yeah. We started a band called Gargoyle, which has been fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. Have you been recording? Do you have recording gear there at your house?
Yeah, we have like a bunch of random stuff that Nick has collected through the years, so we were able to finagle some recording set up.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. This record, when it comes out, this is Sailor Poon's first album, mm-hmm. is what it's going to be called.
Yeah.
And it is, you recorded it in New York?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was almost 2 years ago, so it's taken us a while to get it actually out. But yeah, we did a tour where we stopped in New York for a week and stayed up there. And our friend Paul has a studio, so we just kind of bummed around. We didn't actually have a place to stay, so it was in between sleeping on the studio floor or whoever we could convince to let us crash.
Right.
So it was fun.
How is that like with, were you all staying in the same place or were you all staying in different places?
Well, we weren't technically supposed to stay in the studio, but our friends had an adjoining art studio that I don't think they had houses either. So right. We were kind of, you know, sharing the one couch, and there was like a mattress in the vocal booth for some reason. So sometimes we would sneak in there before it got locked up, or sometimes we would just not sleep and stay up drinking on the curb all night. And, you know, I think that went into the record a little bit, which is always fun.
Yo, you guys are, man, you're really good. I love sort of the, there, to me, you guys seem like, in the spirit of a band like Devo or like the Talking Heads, where you're these artist people
mm-hmm.
who want to yeah. express, and you use rock and roll as the avenue, because you're an amazing you're an amazing visual artist as well, award winning as well. Thanks.
I think we shared the same award ceremony one year.
Did we?
Didn't you get Best Podcast 2019?
Yeah, but I think that was in the city, in the Best of Austin.
Oh, I see.
I know. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. I didn't remember there being a podcast award, but I don't remember a lot of those ceremonies.
Yeah, me neither. Especially because, I mean, let's get into this. I mean, the band is a super cool band. It is a punk rock band, but to me, sort of like more of an art rock band, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, punk is the category we fall in, I think, because of our attitude, uh-huh. more so than music. But yeah, I mean, all my band members are super talented musicians, but I never really thought of myself as a musician, definitely more of an artist. So that kind of goes into my leading of the band, as we just have kind of concepts that, yeah, like you said, come out through rock and roll.
There's an exhibitionistic aspect to your band that yeah. I feel is very feminist and empowering. Is that where it's obviously that's where it's coming from, right?
Yeah. I mean, we try not to push, like, you know, any kind of political agenda. So the feminism kind of comes from us just unapologetically existing and taking up space and doing all the things that the boys can do. So
yeah, there is that. There is that. Sometimes when there's a band of all women, they're all going into it with that same sort of like, for lack of a better word, same size dick as the dudes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we have big dick energy for sure.
Yeah, you do. there's a great video for Be My Dog. Who did that?
That was directed by Meredith, and it was her concept. And then we had Andy Lemon from Teenage Cave Girl do the effects.
Uh-huh.
So that was just, we booked out the Electric Church for a day. Well, booked out. They just, you know, let us in. But so we just kind of got there, and we didn't really know exactly what we were doing. So we were like lighting off smoke bombs inside and shit. And it was a lot of fun doing that. It took forever to come out, but I'm glad we finally did.
Yeah, it's a great video. Who wrote that song? Do you guys write your songs together? Did you write that song?
I think I wrote that song. It's been so long, it's really hard to remember. But yeah, we me and Mariah were the kind of primary writers for most of our songs before our drummer Carrie joined. She's been bringing a lot of concepts and riffs to the group, but we all, you know, it'll be like, I'll sing a little bit of a riff or play it on saxophone the best I can, and then the guitar player, Madison, will take off from there. So it's pretty collaborative in that respect, but I usually write the words.
Okay. How long have you been playing saxophone? Was that like a...
I started in middle school, okay. Yeah. I was in marching band.
Yeah. Did you do marching band all the way through?
No, I stopped when I started smoking pot.
Oh, that'll do it. You were like, when you were talking about, you don't really remember those award shows very well.
Uh-huh.
Is that because when you go to those award shows and you're backstage, you're back there drinking, but you're part of the establishment here. Like you were,
oh God,
you grew up in it. You know what I mean? I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, when you say Mike Buck's part of the establishment, it's not really very threatening establishment then.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, no, I grew up, you know, chasing the disco ball lights at the Continental Club and eating bar peanuts and stuff, so...
Tell me about that. Like, I mean, like, that's a unique experience. Like, I grew up, my mom had friends that were musicians. I ended up playing in bands early in my youth at Continental Club, like when I was like 16, like a lot of people did. You know what I mean? But you're part of that thing with the kids playing over in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool way to grow up. I probably spent more time at Jovita's than any other place in my child care facilities. So as you can see, I'm drinking coffee at 8 p.m. I've kind of always retained that late night thing. So that's just kind of how I grew up and how it's always been.
Did you think you wanted to be a part of it, or when did you know you wanted to be a part of it? Or
I was always really into doing gig posters before I actually got into like wanting to play music.
Uh-huh.
So growing up in the record store and seeing the gig posters on the walls, that was always kind of what caught my attention about the scene. I never really thought I would be a musician. It just kind of happened out of necessity, I guess. So it's been great growing up with two musical parents. You know, I say often that anything Sailor Poon tries to do, my dad's already done it. You know, I'm like, Dad, I'm doing a roller skating strip tease, playing saxophone. He's like, oh, we did that. And I'm like, so, yeah, nothing really surprises them, which is good, I guess.
Well, I know he's very proud of you, because I know the first time I heard of you guys was from him.
Aww.
He told me. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, he's a very strong silent type, so sometimes I'll play him a song and he'll just kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had him on the show, him and Eve, on the show a few years ago, and I remember he was tough to pull stuff out of at first, but then once you got them going on the right subject, you know.
I found that you really have to be like, what were you doing in July of 77? And then he'll tell you.
Right.
So.
How old are you?
26.
26. So how long Sailor Poon's been together? 5 years? 6 years?
Five. Yeah, I think we're at 5 years now. So when we started, we were very bad. And we've kind of, you know, we've had lineup changes. Me and Mariah are the two original members remaining, and everyone else we've picked up along the way. So the sound has evolved every time. Obviously, every time we get a new member, the sound kind of changes, which is fun.
I noticed there's some real different stuff on that, B-sides and rarities.
Yeah. I was playing drums on that album.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When we had a drummer that... She was really awesome, but she was a little bit of a carny, so she was always having to leave to do carnival gigs and stuff like that. And
what aspect of the carnival was she working?
She was a builder, so
okay,
she would build
okay.
carnivals. But one year we played Lundi Gras the Monday before Fat Tuesday, and the next day we wake up in New Orleans and it's Fat Tuesday, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stay." And we're like, "Well, we have a tour to finish." She's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stay." So I had to start playing drums after that, and finally
like that day.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been an interesting road.
Yeah, you guys seem to do a bit of touring. How many tours do you do, like, a year? One or two? Or
yeah, we usually try and do one a year. I think some years we've done a fall and a summer. Since we all have pretty flexible music jobs, it's been easier for us, I think, than some. So we just bought a van, but of course we haven't been able to use it since we bought it, pretty much.
I know. That's a bummer. Was it that picture of the white van that I saw on Instagram?
Yeah.
What year is it?
I have no idea. Yeah. Madison is van wench. She has to take care of the van.
Does it have an aroma yet?
Oh, yes.
Like a band's... Do girl bands' vans smell bad?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
They're probably worse than guys' vans, honestly.
Do you smoke in the van?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Only in the front seats, though.
Right, with the windows down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it from It was a band van before it was ours. I can't remember what band it was, but we rented it a few times. And we weren't supposed to smoke in it when we rented it, but Ooh. It got a bunch of burn holes in the seats. So, you know, we
That'll
ended up
happen.
Buying it. I think it's okay.
What have you been doing under quarantine? I mean, it's been a couple months now.
Yeah, I built a deck.
Oh, nice.
You can probably see it down here. I built a deck and I got a pool. I can't tell if it's working. We started a radio show and a band, so we've been pretty busy.
What's your radio show?
It's called Bacon Fat.
Okay.
It's a web radio, I guess you'd call it.
Okay.
So we moved our bedroom into the tiny guest room and use the big room for our radio and band rehearsal room now. So that's been really fun. Sacrifice the space for the activity room. We've been keeping pretty busy. My mom bought a golf cart, so she's been inviting us to drive her golf cart around.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
What part of town are you in?
We are in North Austin. Okay. We live pretty much right behind the Yellow Rose.
Oh, nice.
My house. Yeah. So
that's a good neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we live right across from Threadgill's, which is sad that it just closed.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you. Did you used to eat there a lot?
Yeah, and my art show was up right in the backyard, in the back building
there.
Oh,
really?
So I never got to have my closing party, and we were going to have one last meal there, but
bummer.
Yeah, it's really sad. But I'm glad that we got to hang out there when I was around.
Yeah. Congratulations on winning Best Poster Artist. That must be a good feeling growing up wanting to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, you know, going to graphic design school and just, you know, they tried to teach me the ways of corporate design and I was pretty much just like, I know what I'm going to do, so good luck.
Did you get something out of it, though?
I got a fake ID.
You learned how to do that in high school. What kind of, in high school, like, what kind of student were you before the?
Well, you know, first 2 years of high school was marching band, so I was pretty stiff. But we were always the weird kids, you know.
What school was it?
I went to Westlake, actually.
Oh, wow.
So got to be bullied by the richest of the But I had a mohawk and I had a Vespa that I would take myself to band camp practice on, but my mom wouldn't let me leave without a helmet, so I'd always have to put my mohawk in the helmet, so it didn't really work out, but But after I quit marching band, I was enrolled in ACC, so I was able to leave campus a lot, so, you know, first period, smoke pot, go back to school, go to art class, and then leave was pretty much how high school went.
What were you... What design school did you go to?
I went to University of North Texas and then got kicked out again for smoking pot. And then I went to Texas Women's University.
Where's that?
They're both in Denton.
Okay.
It's like a nursing school because I already lived in Denton and, you know, so I just went to the kind of second rate art school, which was fine. I probably would have learned a lot more at UNT, but so it goes.
Do you go back to Denton still? Do you guys play up there?
Yeah, we play there sometimes. It's kind of weird because since it's such a college town, the scene is never...
Right.
There's not a consistent scene.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird playing there. And also they won't put our full name on the marquee when we go up there.
Do you get that a lot with the band? I mean, is there some stuff that messes with you because it's Poon?
Yeah, I mean, radio... is especially starting out, people were like, I don't know if we can say Poon on the radio. And I think people have kind of gotten over it now. But, you know.
I remember a time when the Butthole Surfers couldn't really be said, but then they were said on the radio.
Yeah, I think once you get to a point where everyone's heard it, it's like, okay, whatever, we don't care anymore.
I remember there was a band that came to Austin for South By a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That had this huge buzz, and their name was Diarrhea Planet.
Yes, that was one
Remember
of the
that?
First things I ever did, was for them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So did you grow up, when you say you were looking at the posters at the store, that's at Antone's Records, right? And you were looking at Guy Juke stuff?
We had mostly boxing-style posters up, right, which are just text-based ones.
Right.
But, of course, you know, there was books and still is. So I was mostly really into Jim Franklin stuff.
Yeah.
He's always been my big idol. And he came to my art show, which was
He
so
did?
Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, just my favorite poster that's still up is one that says, it's like two ladies in swimsuits, and it says Bad Mama Jamma Contest. And that was always the one that I would look up and just kind of ogle at. So I think that shows a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. Did you, who else were some of your favorite poster artists? They don't have to be local, but were there ones that you latched onto?
Yeah, Moscoso and Stanley Mouse, they did the Fillmore posters.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of all those Fillmore ballroom artists, Family Dog stuff. I was pretty obsessed with the San Francisco vibe. I always thought I would move there, and then we went there and it was like, maybe not.
What about it was bad?
Well, it was really cold, and just kind of, I remember being really gray, and just Austin is such a beautiful place, and everything is so close together. I don't know. It wasn't all I thought it would be and also we went to the Haight-Ashbury, which is all just kind of like sad and not what they talk about in the books. So
I think it was like they talk about it in the books for like 6 months and then it became a weird thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I've read stuff about people that went there, and even in like 1967, and they were like, this is just a bunch of just fucked up weirdos.
Yeah.
Not really trying to do anything.
I think the drugs probably took over.
They can.
Yeah.
So what were the first like posters you started making here?
So when I was in my final year of Texas Women's, I got an internship here with Transmission.
Oh, yeah.
Today, which was awesome at the time because they would let you do posters for like huge acts, which, you know, for better or for worse. So I actually moved out of Denton for my last year of college and just moved back here and would just drive up anytime I needed to take a test. So like once a week or so. But so, yeah, I got to work for Transmission, which was great. I mean, of course, it didn't pay, but got to do posters for some really cool bands. I've done a couple of Melvin's ones.
Awesome.
You know, in my regular person career, I've never quite gotten back to that high.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those were the first ones I started doing. And before that, me and my bass player, Mariah, we worked for the street team. So we would put up the posters when we were in high school and then eventually got to start making the posters, which always felt cool.
I remember street teams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, very hot in the summer.
Who were you a street team person for?
Transmission.
Okay. Oh, for Transmission.
Yeah. Okay. So like Mohawk mostly and stuff.
Nice. You did a great job with the awards poster this year. All that artwork was really, really great. Very unique.
Yeah, that was a really cool opportunity they threw my way.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else coming up that you're working on? I guess are you making any posters or doing artwork for anything now?
Yeah, it's been, obviously haven't done any posters for live shows, but since so many people are putting out music, I've actually been really busy doing album art,
awesome,
which is awesome. And I just did my first food truck design for the Far Out Lounge.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also doing my first beer can design, which is really fun.
That's exciting.
I've been really busy, actually.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. And I was honestly getting really burnt out doing posters because, you know, since you have to put out like two or three a week, I was just feeling creatively really burnt out. And honestly, this kind of came at a good time for me to be able to kind of take a step back and, you know, because when you are doing the same thing all the time, it gets really tedious.
Sure.
Not anymore. Like a real job.
Yeah. Where are there any places you want to take your art now? Like other than posters and album covers and album artwork?
I definitely like to get more into product design, so I'm hoping that this beer can will be a jumping off point for that. you know.
Yeah.
Since beer and music go so closely together, I think it would be a good avenue to kind of connect the two.
Yeah. Do you lament? Like, I see you've got a record behind you. Spencer Davis, I'm a Man. Yeah. That's what I figured it would be. Do you lament the fact that when you make art, it's just what people see is just a fucking fraction of that size? Like, does that bum you out at all?
In a fraction of what?
The size, like the fact that you can make album artwork, and if someone doesn't put it out on vinyl, all this work you've done is like literally just this big.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a thing. But I have found that a lot of people are pushing more towards physical merchandise, and a lot of the time I'll take a piece of the album art and make it into a t-shirt design. So I actually have a whole, what I call the archive of shirts I've designed for people that I would never actually wear sitting in my garage. So, you know,
yeah.
But it's definitely, since I do all my stuff mostly goes out digitally, it's been kind of a learning curve for me to design things that I do like to see on physical merchandise, which is a good reason to have a little break creatively so you can kind of refine your style and try out things that you wouldn't be able to when you're just have deadlines on deadlines.
Yeah.
And also for the first time since the art show, everything was printed. I got to see a lot of stuff that has never been in print before. R.I.P.
Yeah, I know. Sad.
Yeah.
Releasing a record while under this quarantine means no release show. What are you guys gonna do to compensate or to sort of fill that gap? The event gap, if you will.
Any suggestions are appreciated.
Well, I mean, how would you guys do a live stream?
I don't know. I mean, some bands are able to because they live together. Like, I saw that Neville has done one, and I think they're all roommates, which makes it easy. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like, before this fall, we would talk every day, and, you know, we practiced two or three times a week. But I also think we were all kind of getting burnt out on all of the daily grind of that. So we haven't really been in super good communication about, like, what is releasing this album actually mean?
Right.
We kind of just got so sick of sitting on it that we were like, fuck it, just put it out.
Yeah.
Be done with it. Because, you know, we were hoping to send it out through labels and see if it got any takers, but I don't think anyone has any money right now, so.
Right.
You know, we're just going to put it out and see how it goes. There's always be more albums that we can record. And, you know, I'm kind of, that's why I like poster art, is it's kind of an instant gratification kind of thing. Like, you draw it, put it out, the show happens, do another one. So
right.
I don't really like savoring art or anything, you know.
Yeah. I have that feeling about, like, I'm also in bands, a musician and stuff like that, and this podcast gives you a certain amount of autonomy that you can move at the pace that you want to. Even though I need other guests, this is my show, and I can put it together and put it out when I want and do the whole thing.
Yeah, I was impressed. It seems like you put out almost a show every day.
Well, since the quarantine, I started at 2 shows a week.
Okay.
And I did that for a long time. And then South by Southwest, I was going to put out a show every day because I was going to be doing this event. But I didn't do that. I just went ahead and put them out every day. And then I started doing 3 shows a week during the quarantine just so I can talk to people more.
Yeah, for sure.
And also giving people like a little something outside of like horrible news, misinformation.
True that.
This guy, you know.
Yeah. I was looking you up, and I was very shocked to see that you're on episode 900-something.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of episodes. So I've also been doing it for almost 9 years, so.
Yeah, okay.
That's a lot. Yeah. It's still a lot. It's weird.
It's a lot.
It's good to finally get you on here.
Yeah. How was the one with Think No Think? It was a few ago.
Oh, that was great. That was one of the last ones I did in the apartment.
Okay. Like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Those guys are great, man. You guys do a lot of shows with them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done Several, yeah. They're definitely in our kind of loud and reckless genre.
Yeah. Are there any other bands that you go see that you get excited about?
Yeah, I'm always excited to see something new come up. There was a band that was really cool called Betty Goop that started a few months before all this. So I'm hoping that they'll continue.
It sounds like your sister band.
Yeah, they're really cool. They have really good matching outfits.
What about, did you ever see bands like Lord Friday the 13th?
Oh yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're really good.
I would say the band that's outfits are more put together than their music.
I think they'd probably be the first to admit that.
Yeah.
What about when you were growing up, were there any shows, were you at any shows that you look back on and go like, wow, I was just a kid running around at this show?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of shows that I'm sure I was at that I have no memory of. I have a really, really bad memory. So a lot of the times I'll have to have Mariah as my brain accountant. But one I really remember was Toots and the Maytals.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, that reggae band. Yep. And so Toots is just like this old as hell dude, but he comes out in like full sparkly suit. It's hot as hell. He's sweating. I'm like, I think that was probably one of the first times that I was like, man, I want to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else I'm missing?
I don't know. I don't think so. We're excited to release the album, despite it maybe being a little bit stunted in the formalities. But
how many songs are on it?
I think there's 12 or so. Some are little shorties. We always kind of throw in little songs. So. But yeah, you know, I always think back to when my dad did an album release. He had a fucking parade down South Congress.
No shit. When was that?
It was in the 80s. It was for the release of Check This Action, I believe. So maybe we'll be able to get a parade together in the next few weeks.
You know, you could actually do a parade. That's actually something you can do.
It's the best time to do a parade, honestly.
A Sailor Poon parade.
Honk from their cars. Yeah, not a bad idea. Maybe we'll start putting serious thought into it.
Who came up with that name? Because that is a great name, by the way.
Sailor Poon?
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't think it's a great name?
Oh, God, it's the worst. I think we've been kind of cursed by it.
I haven't said it to any... I've not said that name to anyone today or yesterday that didn't start laughing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a blessing because it's really easy to remember. But it's just so stupid.
It's kind of almost blasphemous because wasn't that like a little kid, like Japanime cartoon? Like,
I think she was a teenager. Okay. But yeah. But yeah, no, I think our founding guitar player came up with the name, and she always kind of had that sick sense of humor. But, you know, we're always saying, like, if you've got a better idea, we're open. But we've gone too far.
Yeah, why would you change it now? Plus, it's kind of part of the package. Like, when you hear the music, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, all part of our cock rock, shock rock.
Were there any female bands that inspired you, or all the female bands, or what? Who were your people that?
Yeah, I was always really into Patti Smith, of course, and my mom gave me a X-Ray Specs album, but it was never really the gender of the rocker that was what turned me on, more so of their stage presence. So like Frank Zappa was always a big influence, of course, and. You know, obviously I grew up listening to mostly blues and Sun Ra, but even that goes into some of the performance aspects of it.
There's some of your songs that are of that structure.
Yeah.
Like they're a blues song if you slowed it down a little bit or something.
Yeah, there's a song that'll be on the new album called The Texas Butter Blues.
What is that about?
It's about using butter as a sexual lubricant.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny too, because I know your dad, and then I'm like, I think about it in the terms of like regular dads, like non-rock dads.
Yeah.
How weird that would be.
I know. I always remember when we played in Chicago, our former tambourine player, her whole sweet little Midwestern family came to see us. We played Bric-a-Brac Records, and other than them, it was them and No Bunny were the only people that showed up for the show. And somehow the Midwesterners had gotten into some edibles, and it was just, I was like, this is just wrong. We shouldn't be doing this. So, yeah, it's always been interesting for the band members that have regular parents to try and tell them
explain,
what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in bands with people that have regular parents that are... And my dad is like a regular... I mean, you know, he's not a cool guy. My mom was cool, but this dude, he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And that must be a good feeling. I mean, your mom and dad are both proud of you.
Oh, yeah. My mom used to come to all of our shows with a rolling cooler full of champagne bottles for us. That's it.
Well, that's classy, man.
Very classy.
you have your artwork on Instagram. Is there a website that you have for that, for the artwork?
Yeah, I have billybuck.com. It's kind of neglected, but it's there.
Could be a good time to update it, not to sound like your dad's friend who's giving you advice unsolicited.
No, definitely. It could use some love. I built the website when I was in college, and I haven't... I mean, I update the pictures on it, but since I'm such a shit web designer, it's kind of sat. Because I know if I move one thing in the matrix, it'll just all come to shit. So, yeah. Yes, I have a website, and we are... Our drummer is working on a cool, hip, interactive millennial website for us for Sailor Poon.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, so that should be up by the time the album is.
Okay, and people can find you guys on Bandcamp, Sailor-Poon on Bandcamp. You're on Instagram and on Facebook, and also your artwork's on Facebook. I mean, on Instagram.
Yes, yeah, all true.
Is it Billy Buck poster art?
Billy Buck posters.
Billy Buck posters, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, man, thank you so much. It's been nice meeting you in person. I don't think we've ever met in real life, have we?
Hope to see you out in the world soon.
Yeah, me too. I want to come see the band. I want to thank Scott Collins for hooking us up.
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually about to finish his album artwork right now.
Awesome. Well, Billy, you have a great night, and I'll let you know when this podcast posts.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for doing the show. Billy Buck from Austin Music Award winning band Sailor Poon. Find them on Bandcamp. Sailor Poon on Bandcamp, also Instagram and Facebook. Their brand new single, Be My Dog, available wherever it is you stream and download the jams. Also, Billy Buck is an award winning poster artist and artist. You can find her at billybuck.com. What a great conversation, man. I really like her a lot. I think that was short because I think it was the end of the day, at least for me. I feel like we talked, we didn't really know each other that well. I don't think either one of us were too into a Zoom thing with somebody for the first time, but I hope to meet her in person and see Sailor Poon live. Looking forward to that. All right, get out there and check out Sailor Poon. Gang, while you're out there checking out Sailor Poon on the interwebs, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, gang. We are on YouTube now. We are on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. Wherever it is you stream and download your podcast or get into podcasts, we are there. Don't forget to like us. Don't forget to like episodes that you like. If you follow us on social media, How Did I Get Here on Facebook, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy. If you find a show you like, share it. Let us know by using the hashtag How Did I Get Here Pod. All right? Thanks again for listening. I had a great time talking to Billy. Here's some more music from Sailor Poon. This is their tune, Be My Dog, their latest single, available now everywhere. Have a good weekend, gang. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay safe. Let's get down.